Greenhouse gas emitters will soon have to file their carbon tax returns to the taxman. SARS is said to have collected around 2.5 billion rand from the exercise last year. So who has to register for the tax and how is it calculated? Well, to tell us more about this, I'm joined on the line by Louis Botha, a senior associate at the Tax and Exchange Control Division at Cliff Dekker Huffmeyer. Thank you very much, Louis, for joining us. It's obvious that the likes of Sasol and Eskom would be serious candidates for paying carbon tax, but broadly, what kind of companies are liable for this tax? Who should be registering to pay their dues, and what's the process?
Hi, Nompumelelo. Thank you for being on the show. So the act is quite broad. It's essentially any entity that that conducts activities which results in the emission of greenhouse gases above the stipulated threshold. So, you know, there are obviously some of the obvious activities, you know, where you've got, you know, energy, electricity generation, and which can result in greenhouse gas emission. Of course, Eskom is not subject to carbon tax in the current first phase thereof up to the end of 2022.
Okay.
We'll have to see what happens after that. But I mean, in a lot of our industries, you know, steel production and so forth, they would be liable for carbon tax. But it's, yeah, like I said, it's extremely broad in terms of who must register. Ultimately, the question though is whether an entity exceeds a specific threshold that is stipulated in the legislation.
Yeah. So, Louis, when you reflect on the first carbon tax returns of last year, what was the process there? What was involved? And was it a successful operation by SARS? Because I see that they had anticipated 3 billion rand, but they only managed to collect 2.5 billion rand.
Yeah. So, so I think, as is the case with the new tax, I mean, in South Africa, we have... it's been a while since we introduced a brand new tax, and although carbon tax is administered in a way similar to your sort of customs taxes and so on, there were, I think, the obvious teething problems and so forth, and some companies might not have been aware whether they needed to register.
Yes.
There's also the issue of, essentially, in the carbon tax context, there's essentially a dual registration component, because on the one hand, you have obligations towards reporting your emissions to the DFFE, the Department of Forestry, Fisheries, and the Environment.
Yes,
which is simply reporting the actual emissions. But then on top of that, then you also have to declare to SARS. And we have seen cases, for example, where not all companies were necessarily aware of this and of that interaction between the two. So it should be easier this year. You know, theoretically, one would think that also the amount that would be collected might also be higher than last year, because, for one, simply you're dealing with a longer period. So the first carbon tax year started in about June 2019, ran to December 2019, whereas the next carbon tax year, albeit we did have the lockdown last year, runs for a full calendar year. So theoretically, of course, once the actual stats are released, we'll know for sure, but theoretically a higher amount should be collected, and it should be a smoother process.
Yeah. So how is the tax calculated, and is it progressive? Maybe that's the wrong word I'm using, but is it progressive in the sense that you're allowed to emit a certain amount of emissions before you start getting taxed?
Yes, it's essentially that. So it essentially works on the basis of a so-called threshold. So depending on the industry you're in. So to use a very simple example, if you're in an industry where which involves any sort of energy or electricity generation, then typically if you have want to look at the energy capacity. So a very simple example is if you have a diesel generator, for example, that you use to generate electricity.
Yes.
Or power from, only if that generator or if your total installed capacity exceeds 10 megawatts, 10 megawatt thermal is the exact term used, only when you cross that threshold, then will you actually become liable. So if you're below the threshold, then you would not be liable for the tax. And then in terms of the actual calculation, so what if you're over the threshold, then there's a very detailed formula in the Act which basically what it comes down to is it says you look at the actual amount emitted, less the allowances that you qualify for, you then end up with sort of X quantity, and then that'll be multiplied applied by the carbon tax rate, which now for the 2020 period, for which the return will be submitted now, will be 127 Rand per ton of CO2 equivalent emissions.
Yeah, if you have slightly complicated tax issues, you get the help of a tax person. But if you're a company that's emitting gases and needs to do this carbon tax, presumably you need to enlist the help of an energy tax specialist, because it sounds very complicated.
Yeah, no, it is quite complicated. So it's a mixed. It's essentially a mixed expertise that you require. So on the one hand, there is the legal aspect, but then there's also the technical aspect in terms of, you know, to determine, so, you know, what greenhouse gases are actually being emitted as a result of your activities. You know, what substances do you make use of in your processes? You know, what substances are being made use of, within processes within your business. So it is, yes. So there's a technical component where one would, for example, require the expertise of such technical experts, and then there's the legal element, which is more down to the formula and interpretation of the legislation.
Yeah. One last thing very quickly. One of the problems with some of the country's tax initiatives is that tax goes into a general kitty. So are we able to say, oh, he's disappeared? What a pity. All right. Well, that was Louis Botha, Senior Associate in the Tax and Exchange Control Division at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. What a pity he's gone. You are listening to Nompo.